You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
My word is a lamp.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a family Bible teaching ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. It's really a privilege to be here another Saturday evening to continue in the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are in the book of Matthew chapter 12. Last time we stopped at verse 21, and we'll be continuing from there this week. So let us pray and begin. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for who you are. Thank you for your many blessings in our lives. Thank you for your faithfulness, for your love, which never fail. Father, we just thank you right now for this privilege to bring forth your word. And we pray in the name of Jesus, mighty God, that you will illuminate your word to us, O God, that we will go forth with understanding. For your word tells us, O God Almighty, without understanding, we cannot live your word. So give us understanding, we pray, that we may live your word and walk in holiness, walk in righteousness, walk in truth, bringing honor and glory to your great name. So we just thank you again for those that are listening this evening. Thank you, O God, that your word will come forth with clarity, O mighty God, and those who hear will decide, O God Almighty, to follow you and to walk, O God, in your ways. Lord, we thank you again for your word. Thank you that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And we bless and honor and give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Praise the name of the Lord. So we had stopped at verse 21 of Matthew 12, and we'll continue from there. And the word tells us, and in his name, Gentiles will trust, speaking about the name of Jesus. And this was a prophecy from Isaiah. And the word tells us, as Isaiah spoke, and from Isaiah 42, 1 through 4, he spoke. And these words were written. Matthew was just reminding the Jewish people of what the prophecies were about Jesus. So Isaiah prophesied about Jesus and tells that his servant, behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. That's verse 18 of Matthew 12. Verse 19 said, he will not quarrel nor cry out. Now will anyone hear his voice in the street? So we see here the servant who is Jesus demonstrate meekness and humility. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flask he will not quench, till he sends forth justice to victory. So we see he did not come to deal with all the political system of Rome at that time over his people. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. So we see when he went to the cross, justice was served. And now those who put their trust in Jesus can live in victory over sin. And we stopped at verse 21 last time, which says, and in his name, Gentiles will trust. His name brings hope to all people who trust in him, people of God. And the word of God tells us that the gospel of Jesus Christ did not come only for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles. The light has come for the Gentiles, and they have purpose in their hearts to put their trust in him. In his name, Gentiles will trust. And people of God, we who have put our trust in him have hope. We who have put our trust in Jesus Christ have hope, knowing that he is our blessed hope. So look at verse 22 of Matthew 12. Then one was brought to him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed him so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. Verse 23 of Matthew 12, and all the multitudes were amazed and said, could this be the son of David? So after such a great miracle, people of God, where the blind and mute man was healed, he was now able to speak. He was now able to see. The crowd of people who were following Jesus at that time were astonished at the mighty miracle and was now wondering if this could be the Messiah. If this could be the son of David. The son of David here refers to the Messiah. The Israelites were looking for the coming of the Messiah. And now this man came on the scene. This perfect God man came on the scene and was doing all these great miracles. So the crowd, the people start to wonder if this could be the Messiah, if this could be the son of David. So they were there, and knowing that the Messiah would come with such power and majesty, they say, could this be the son of David? Could this be the Messiah? So the people were questioning whether or not Jesus was the Messiah. Could this man be him? Look at verse 24 of Matthew 12. Now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. People of God, the ordinary people, were saying, could this be the son of David, the Messiah? But look on what the Pharisees were saying, the religious rulers. They were saying that this fellow, they did not give him the respect that he so deserves. So they said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. People of God, these people were discrediting what Christ was doing. These were religious people who said they were serving the true and living God. But yet still they could not recognize the Messiah when he came. They could not recognize him. The ordinary people were there wondering, could this be the son of David? Could this be the Messiah? But the religious rulers wanted to discredit Jesus. They call him this fellow. They did not even say this rabbi. He was a rabbi like them. He was a teacher. They did not say this rabbi. They said this fellow, trying to demean what Jesus was doing. They were saying that he was casting out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. But look at Jesus' response in Matthew 12:25. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. So Jesus was saying every kingdom, city, or household divided against itself will come to destruction, and surely they cannot prevail. And people, that's a truth that we must hold on to. If there's division among us, then we are going to be destroyed. We cannot prevail. So God is calling us, his people, to come to that place of unity in him. As children of God, we are called to be united by our love one for another. Galatians 5:15 tells us, but if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. So we are called, people of God, to love one another. And where love is, people of God, there is no division. Where love is, there is no division. So when we are not united, it shows that we are not truly loving God and loving one another. So we are called, people of God, to love one another, to love like Jesus loved, unconditionally, sacrificially, with pure motives. We are called to love one another and not to be divided. Jesus said, any house, any city, any kingdom divided against itself is brought to destruction, is brought to desolation. So we, as people of God, have to understand that we are called to be united. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew 12:26. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? So Jesus continued to respond to what the Pharisees said, that he was casting out demons by Satan. So Jesus said, if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? So look on what verse 27 says of Matthew 12. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? That's a question Jesus asked them. Therefore, they shall be your judges. So Jesus was saying that if he cast out demons by Beelzebub, then he asked the Pharisees this question, by whom do your sons, who were exorcists, they were exorcists, how, by whom do they cast them out? That's a question Jesus was asking. If I'm casting out devils by Satan, by whom do your sons, who were exorcists? So a group of the religious leaders would be those who perform exorcism. So they would cast out demons. So Jesus was asking them, by whom do your sons who were exorcists, by whom would they cast out the demons? By whom were they casting out demons? So Jesus was really saying that the sons of the religious rulers who were also exorcists will condemn them for what they said, because it would be implying that their sons are also casting out demons by Satan. So it would imply that the religious leaders' sons are also casting out demons by Satan. So we see, people of God, Jesus, who is all wise, knows how to answer every question. He knows how to answer. And we, people of God, if we stay in Christ, we will get his wisdom. We will know how to answer those who are trying to discredit what we are doing. And that's what these religious leaders were there for, to try to discredit what Jesus was doing, saying that he was casting out demons by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. So Jesus was saying, if Satan casting out Satan, then he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And people of God, we have to understand that God is calling us to understand that we will be criticized. We will be spoken against because of the great and mighty works that Jesus is doing through us. But let us not be distracted. Let us continue to do the work of the Lord. Jesus was not distracted by these religious leaders. He continued to do the will of his Father. So Jesus continued to speak in Matthew 12:28. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. So Jesus was saying that if he cast out demons by the Spirit of God, it is a certainty that the kingdom of God has come. It is a certainty that the kingdom of God has come to earth, because the King has come. The King of glory came to earth. So where the King is, there is his kingdom. So people of God, we have to understand this truth. So Jesus was saying, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely, of a certainty, the kingdom of God has come upon you. The people of God, those religious people had no eyes to see, nor ears to hear. They could not perceive what was going on. And so it is now, people of God, when the Lord is using us mightily, many will not know what is going on, because they are blind to the things of God. They are ignorant to the things of God. But we have to continue to do what God has called us to do, and not be distracted by those who are criticizing us. Look at verse 29 of Matthew 12. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods, unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? So we see Jesus was saying, how can we enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods, unless he first bind that strong man? How can you go into enemy territory and take and plunder what they have unless you bind that strong man? You bind that one who is guarding the house. You bind that one who is in charge of the house. You have to first bind the strong man, and then you will be able to plunder his house. So we see, people of God, Jesus' presence here on earth binds every satanic forces, and he came to plunder the kingdom of darkness and to set captive souls free. So we see, people of God, as Jesus reminds us to abide in him and let his word abide in us. We have to stay in him, stay in his presence. His presence is what binds the activity of the satanic world. So Jesus' presence here on earth binds every satanic forces. And he came to plunder the kingdom of darkness and to set captive souls free. He did that, people of God, when he went to the cross for us. He did that when he went to the cross for us. In Colossians 2:15, the word said, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So we have to understand, people of God, that he bound the strong man. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So we see, people of God, as Jesus said, we have to understand. Many times we're saying that we are binding. We have to make sure that we are walking in fellowship with Jesus, for it is his presence that binds satanic forces. His presence, no satanic force can stand up and challenge Jesus. None. So people of God, many times, and we are out of fellowship with Jesus, and we want to go saying that we are going to plunder Satan's kingdom. Let us come to understand that it's the presence of God, it's the presence of the Holy Spirit working in us. And when we are walking in union with him, then we have power over the works of darkness. So we have to understand, people of God, when Jesus went to the cross, the word of God tells us he disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public disgrace of them, triumphing over them. Look at verse 30 of Matthew 12. Jesus continues his discourse. He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. So Jesus was saying, if we are not united as one in the body of Christ, we are working. If we are united as one, if we are united, people of God, as one in the body of Christ, we are working with Jesus. But if we are divided against each other, we are working against him. He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. So if we are united as one in the body, we are truly working with Jesus. But if we are divided against each other, as I said before, we are working against him. We are now in alliance with the powers of darkness. So therefore, instead of gathering the harvest, we are scattering the harvest. We have become stumbling blocks in the way of those who want to come to Christ. People of God, when our lifestyle have become misleading, when we are living a double life, a part of it is for Jesus, a part for the world, then people of God, we are scattering people. We are scattering people. We are misleading them so they won't come to Jesus. We want to be people who gathers and not scatter. We want to be people who gathers and not scatter. So we, as God's people, have to stop, examine ourselves. Am I working against Jesus? Am I scattering or am I gathering? We have to come to understand, people of God. And when we are dividing against, when we are divided against each other, we are working against him. It's a truth. We have to understand a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. So we have to come to understand that we are called to be united as one body in Christ. We are called, people of God, to show forth the glory and praise of our Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot do that by biting and devouring one another. But we have to come to that place of unity in the body of Christ. We have to come to understand how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And when we are united, people of God, we can go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit to do the will of God, to gather the harvest that is out there. The harvest is ripe, people of God, but the laborers are few. We don't want to be those who are scattering the harvest, but we want to be those that gather with Jesus. Look at Matthew 12, verse 31. Therefore, I say to you, every sin and every blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit, it will not be forgiven men. Why? Stop to think of it, people of God. Jesus continues this course. He said, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit, it will not be forgiven men. Remember, the Spirit of God has come, people of God. He has come to bring conviction and to convert souls. And people of God, when we speak against the Holy Spirit of God, who has come to bring conviction to weary souls and to convert sinners, and we are speaking against him, Jesus said that sin will not be forgiven. Look at verse 32 of Matthew 12. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. People of God, we have to be very careful that we do not speak against the work of the Holy Spirit. Let us be very careful, people of God. There are things that will be done through the power of the Holy Spirit that we will not understand. But let us not speak against it. Let us not speak against what we don't understand. Let us ask the Lord to give us revelation. Let us ask the Lord for understanding of what is happening. But let us not speak against what we don't understand. The Holy Spirit is God. He does as he pleases. He will do some things that you and I do not understand. But let us walk, people of God, in reverential fear of who he is and ask him for enlightenment in the supernatural manifestations. So we'll see supernatural manifestations at times, people of God, and we will speak against it because we don't understand. And we see that was what was happening, people of God, even with the Pharisees. We read in earlier verses where they say after the man who was dumb and blind, Jesus healed him. And they were speaking against a miracle. The people were saying, this must be the Son of David. This must be the Messiah. Could this be the Messiah? Could this be the Son of David? That's what they were saying. But these Pharisees trying to discredit the work that Jesus was doing, saying that he was doing this through the power of Satan. So people of God, we have to understand that many of us sometimes fall into that same trap where we don't understand what is going on and we are speaking against the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is doing a work. You and I are mere human beings. We don't understand spiritual things unless it is revealed to us. But speak against him. Jesus said, this sin will not be forgiven. So people of God, we have to be very, very careful and walk each day in humble reverence to God who is with us. The Holy Spirit is with us. And he does work in the supernatural. He's God. So when we see supernatural things, ask God for enlightenment. Ask him to show us. He will show us what he wishes to show us. He will enlighten us according to his will. But let us not speak against what we see happening. And many fall into that trap. Let us be careful, people of God. that we don't fall into the trap of the unpardonable sin of speaking against the Holy Spirit, of blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. He is the one, the Paracletos, that was sent here to be with us. He is the one who is restraining the powers of darkness. He is the one who convicts and converts individuals. He is the one that draws men to Jesus. Let us not speak against him. If we don't understand, ask the Lord to give us understanding. But let us walk every day in humble reverence to the Holy Spirit who lives with us and in us. Let us walk each day being aware of his presence with us. And let us be careful of what we speak from our mouth. Let us not speak against him and the work that he's doing here on earth. He's here to glorify Jesus. He's here to do the will of God. So let us come to understand that God is with us. The Holy Spirit is with us. And spiritual things you and I do not understand. And many of us are walking so much in the natural that spiritual things are foolishness to us. Even those who are called by the name of Christ walk so much in the natural, we don't even understand spiritual things. So we don't want to be speaking against what we don't know or understand, but we want to come to understand that the Holy Spirit is God and he does as he pleases. So we don't want people of God to be speaking against the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. So we have to be very careful, people of God. And things, as I said before, that we don't understand, ask God for enlightenment. Ask him to show us. And he will show us what he wants to show us. He will open up our understanding. But let us walk each day in humble reverence of the Spirit of God who lives with us and in us. God bless you here this evening. We will continue from verse 32 next week, God's willing. Matthew 12, verse 32, that's where we stop. We'll continue there. And we'll continue in the book of Matthew as the Lord leads. God bless you all. Have a wonderful rest of the weekend and continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you again for your word to us. We thank you for what you're doing in this season. We thank you for enlightening us according to your word. And we pray that your word, O God Almighty Lord, we will not, O God, disobey your word, but we will walk in humble reverence to your word. We will walk in obedience, O God, knowing that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We bless you, we honor, and we give you glory for what you have done this evening, and may your perfect will be done as we look to you and give thanks in Jesus' name. We say amen and amen. God bless you all. Praise the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
In the Lord is love. Reproofs of instruction.
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp. Join us every Saturday at 7 p.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM for a special program, Thy Word is a Lamp, where you will hear the dynamic teaching of Sheila Suarez, a fresh manner. Thy Word is a Lamp, a fresh